and turn to Revelation chapter number 3. I'm going to ask a question, and I don't ask it to put anybody on the spot. I ask it to prove a point that I will be speaking a little bit about in the message tonight. How many people in our service tonight are lukewarm? Raise your hand. Lukewarm? Mm-hmm. How many are lukewarm? I don't mean temperature. I mean lukewarm for the Lord. You say, I'm lukewarm for the Lord, Pastor. I'm not hot. And I'm not cold. I'm lukewarm. Raise it high. Don't make me ask you how many of you have pride problem. Okay. I appreciate your honesty. I'm going to tell you, and this is probably my lack of faith. I should know better. I didn't expect that many people to raise their hand. I'm going to talk to you about lukewarmness, but I'm not going to talk to you about lukewarmness because I think that you're lukewarm. I know we all get lukewarm. I think what we have to battle against is staying lukewarm. Certainly we would battle against becoming lukewarm, but it's inevitable, I think. I can't prove this from the scripture, but I think that everyone in their Christian experience becomes lukewarm at some point and for some period of time and for a variety of reasons. There is no excuse to be lukewarm. And so I want to just talk to you about lukewarmness. Not just individually, though I will speak about that, but as a church. Because in Revelation chapter 3, if you'll look with me in verse number 14, we'll read down through the end of the chapter, verse 22. This is written to a church. Now we understand that church and churches are made up of individuals. But I want you to notice that this is written to an entire congregation of people. It's not just written to one person. However, the answer to a church being lukewarm is when an individual, one at a time, as far as I can tell, of the remedy that Jesus gave. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, okay, he said, you can come out of that. And sometimes to get a church out of a lukewarm status, it just takes one person at a time. And instead of looking around us and saying, well, you know what, I just wish this family would do different, or I just wish that one would do different, I really believe what Jesus is saying here is, no, you do different. If you're that man, you open the door. There's been many, many books written on, is this speaking to saved people? Is this speaking to lost people? And we're not going to get in that tonight. We're just going to get into lukewarm and what we can do to prevent it, and if we're in it, what we can do to get out of it. All right? Let's read verse 14 down through verse 22. We'll have a word of prayer, then I have just a few simple notes that I hope will be a help. Sometimes it's the simple things that challenge us. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And here's why. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And I got to tell you, that's about where I'm at in life. Just being honest. You say, well, I don't see you that way. You know, I am that way. Whether you see me that way or not. And God's helped me become this way, but not so that I could be lukewarm. so that I could do the opposite and be grateful. You can't be lukewarm and grateful at the same time. And so he said, you're saying you're rich and you're increased with goods and you have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Really rich. I can't help read some of this without making comment as I go. You say you're rich. Your riches are in the wrong places. If you'll let me, I'll make you really rich. I'll show you that the material blessings is not where real riches are. That's what he's saying. Because he said, if you'll buy gold, try it in the fire. You're going to have to go through a little suffering, a little persecution. You're going to have to go through some setbacks. That's what gold tried in the fire is. And then he said this, I counsel thee that thou to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a help to your people tonight. God, I pray that you would speak to my heart again and continually, and I pray you'd speak to the hearts of your people. God, help Fellowship Baptist Church to be hot, not cold, and certainly not lukewarm. Forgive us, Lord, when we are cold. Forgive us when we are lukewarm. And help us to realize the state that we're in, and help us to acknowledge it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, I'm just sitting at my desk today and had many things going on. There's a lot of things going on in the church with our church family. And so I was just thinking about where we are as a church, where I am as a pastor, where I am as a servant, where I am as a Christian. And these passages came to my mind. And so I began to look at some of these, and I preached through the book of the Revelation probably 3 or 4 times. I preached on the 7 churches here in chapter 2 and 3. And so what I want to do is just kind of take some things that the Lord Jesus says here about this church, and I want us to evaluate our church tonight. Jesus has given us a checklist, and so we'll do that first, and then we'll see, okay, this here's some corrective. He gave some counsel, and he told them to do some things, and I want to give you some things I think will be a help to us as a group and to you as an individual and to your family as a home. All right? So let's do that. The first thing that I notice here, and I think is very telling, is that when Jesus addresses this church, he did not address it the church which was in Sardis, as he did in chapter 3, verse 1, or the church of that is in Philadelphia, or of Smyrna, Thyatira. He said the church of the Laodiceans, which I think is very telling. It's a church that the people are known more for than the God they serve. It's almost like it's just our church. And that's why it's always bothered me, and I realize that we get into these habits when people say, yeah, you go down there to Dale Freeman's church. Dale Freeman doesn't have a church. I've died for no one. The church belongs to the Lord Jesus. Now, I know what people mean by that, and you say, well, that's just being kind of, particular. Well, I think that we need to really not fall into these habits, these bad habits in particular, of letting people to believe that any man runs a church. There's leadership. We're thankful for it. There's There's shepherds. We're thankful for them. There's leaders in the church. We're grateful for the leaders and the leadership ability that God gives. But the church is the church of God. It belongs to Jesus Christ. He purchased the church with his blood. And when the people began to take ownership of the way the church is going to be run instead of letting Scripture dictate the way Scripture's run, well, you're probably headed for a lukewarm status. You're headed in that direction. And so I pray that every one of us would realize what's happening here. This is not my church. This is not my family's church. This is not your church. This is not your family's church. This is God's church. Now, I'm glad that I can be a part of it. And I'm glad that you're a part of it. And I hope you're glad you're a part of it. I think it's a good church. It's God's church, but I think it's a good church. But it's a good church because it's God's church. And so we want to keep it that way. And we don't want anyone to get this idea or this mindset. Well, you know, this church belongs to, and then start filling in the blank. There's only one person that this church belongs to, and his name is Jesus. And if that ever changes now, I'm telling you, if that ever changes, any church that ever changes that, then they're headed in one direction, and it's not good. And so I think it's telling that he said in verse number 14, and unto the church of the Laodiceans. If you go back, there's six other churches. Don't do it now, but he always said the church in Smyrna or the church of Ephesus. He never said the church of, and then he called the name, the people of the name. The closest he got to that was the church of Ephesus, not the Ephesians, which is in Ephesus. This is clear here that it's saying this is the people's church. These people run the church the way they want it to be run. They don't do it according to Scripture. They don't seek God's counsel. They think we have the ability to do this church thing. Can I tell you, brethren, we do not have that ability. The only ability that we have to do things God's way, God has given it to us. And we'll only do it God's way when we exercise God's will in doing that. Amen? So that's a small thing. Well, you know what? Big things start out small. And we just have to really understand that when we're wanting to do God's will, we have to get in God's word. And when we want to do God's ministry in the church, we need to get in God's word and just stick as close to this book as we can. I realize that sometimes there's preferences. I get those things. But you can't have too many of those. Just stick to the stuff, right? What saith the Scripture? What's the Bible say about it? Let's see what the Bible says and let's line up with that. Whether we like it or not, let's try to line up what the Scripture says. So that's the first thing. Now, I want you to notice some things that they lost. They lost. Now, I can't prove this, but I do know that this church is mentioned in a couple of other places in Scripture. And I'm not going to go into a deep study about the church in Laodicea. I'm not going to do that. But I believe that this church slipped into this state. And we've all known churches that do that. We've known individuals that do that. I've done that. That's hard for me to say. And that's why I ask you how many of you are lukewarm, because when we're lukewarm, we're so comfortable that we don't realize. You know, when you're hot, it's very easy to tell when you're hot. You even say it, man, I'm hot. You know? And when you're cold, it's very easy to tell when you're cold. You even say it, I'm cold, you know. We make those, but there's very few people that say, I'm comfortable. You know, just to say it. They feel it, but they won't say it. They won't acknowledge it. They just feel it. But when you're hot, you realize it, and so you say something about being hot. When you're cold, you realize it, so you say something about being cold. But when you're lukewarm, we rarely acknowledge that. We just kind of accept it and move on. And so they lost some things here. And I wanted to name four things that they lost, and then I hope that this will be a help for you and a test for us. The first thing that I say they lost, look if you would in verse number 16, they lost their vigor, all right? They lost that zeal, that vigor, that passion. Verse number 16 says this, so then, because thou art lukewarm, you're lukewarm. The Lord Jesus said, this is what you are. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're lukewarm. You've lost something. God, he told them down, if you'll notice in verse number 19, he said, be zealous. I want you zealous. I don't want you comfortable. I don't want you laid back. I want you zealous. I want you approaching my ministry with passion. I don't want this laid back. I can take it or leave it. Looking around while the preacher's preaching, checking your Facebook, whatever people do when the preacher's preaching, thinking about what they're going to do after the service is over. Will this ever be over? He said, I don't want you to be that way. You say, well, sometimes it's hard not to be that way. It is. It is. We all get tired. We all get distracted. But he said, if you're not going to become lukewarm, it's going to take an effort. It's going to take an effort to be hot. It's going to take an effort. You have to intentionally be hot. And so he said, you don't want to lose your vigor, but they have lost it. They lost their vigor. Can I ask you a question? And don't raise your hand. Don't nod your head. Just think in yourself, have you lost your passion? Have you lost your vigor? Can you think back on a time when you were really just, I mean, you witnessed to everyone. You passed out tracts. You prayed for the pastor. You prayed for your Sunday school teacher. You didn't allow just any little thing to keep you from missing a church service. You didn't allow some of the things that are going on to come across your television screen or your phone screen. You didn't allow some of the things you listen to or even maybe say in your life. Have you lost your vigor? Have I lost my vigor as a church? Are we where we were 10 years ago? You say, well, we're grown. Look how we've grown. I don't mean numbers-wise, brethren. I don't mean numbers-wise. See, I thank God for people getting saved. I thank God for the church growing. I'd love to see us grow right out of this building, build a building, grow out of it, start some churches off of it, do some church plants. But can I tell you, success in ministry is not measured by numbers. It's just not. Now, I'm not saying you can't measure or have a measure of success with growth, but that's not really where God wants us to look at our success, and we'll get to that in just a moment. So he said in verse number 16, he said, you're just lukewarm. And he said, you're lukewarm because you've lost your vigor. Have you lost your vigor? Does church still excite you? Does Jesus still excite you? Do you still sing for the Lord? Do you still tell people how good God is to you? Do we? And so we have to be real about this. What do we do when someone's watching? Well, I do when someone's listening. I do when it's expected of me. Well, can I tell you, God expects it of us all the time. We're saved. Amen. He wants us to behave becoming to a Christian. Number two, not only did they lose their vigor, look at verse 17. They lost, and I think this is key, they lost their values. Notice what he said here. Because thou sayest, this is why you're lukewarm, because you've lost your values. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, I said this when I came back from Peru the second time, and I'm not saying that every mission field's this way. I'm not. But there's some people, I believe even here in the United States, they're just rich in the wrong things. And if we're not careful, we can become rich in the wrong things. And I'll mention just a few things, and I don't want to get too deep into it because then we'll think, well, I'm okay there. I checked every box. Only you can really determine where you're placing your priority. And I just want to ask you, are you placing your priority in the right places, on the right things? What really means a lot to us anymore? People getting saved? God revealing things to us? I had a little girl come up here during Shaking Hands Fellowship, and I thought, that was from God. Because this is one of the very things that I thought of when I was thinking about values. She said, guess what, Pastor? I said, what? She said, God answered my prayer. I mean, she had a look on her face like, you know, I'm big stuff. You know, the God of heaven listens to me, and he did what I asked him to do. Amen. Remember when you used to have that look on your face? Amen? Remember when it used to thrill you when God listened and done what you asked him to do and showed himself to you? And this is what this verse of Scripture is saying to me. He's saying, you know, you say you're rich, but you're rich in the wrong ways. It doesn't matter that you have big buildings or or huge bank account. And I'm talking about the church now, not you individually. The church. Listen, I'm for nice looking stuff. I'm for it. I am. I believe the church ought to be the best looking, best kept building in the community. Now, I didn't say the most extravagant, and I didn't say the most expensive, but it ought to be nice and clean, and it ought to be well groomed and manicured, and it just ought to look nice. It's a representation of God and what God is doing in that building. I couldn't tell you what it would be like. I've done it before. Perhaps you have. Perhaps it's happened here, and I'm sorry, but we want to do better if it is. You pulled up on a property, and it just looked like it's getting ready to close down instead of start up. Dirty and unkept, unclean. Well, God's house ought not look like that. Amen. And I appreciate those that clean. I appreciate those that mow. I appreciate those that put forth the effort. I appreciate that, and I hope that you do. And so here's what he's saying. He said, thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now, in what way? Well, it's not spiritually. Because later he tells them, really, you have none of this spiritually. It seems like that your priorities have shifted from God's house to your house. You know, remember Haggai? You know, your houses, you're spending all your time and your money fixing up, and you're giving very little thought to God's house. And so we said, where are you rich? Where's your priority? Where are your values? Do you squeeze hold of money when you give it to God, but when you give it to things that's going to benefit you or things of the world or entertainment of the world, you just throw money at it like it's nothing? You've lost your values. These are things that happen when we become lukewarm. When we become lukewarm, we don't give as freely to God's work. What we do is we don't mind throwing money at the entertainment of the world and the causes of the world, the causes of materialism. But when it comes to God, you know, we think, well, you know, we want to stick as close to that tenth as we can. And I don't even want to get into the tenth. And so I'm just telling you that if we're not careful, notice if you would in chapter 2, verse number 9, in chapter 2 of Revelation, verse number 9, he said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. He said, but thou art rich. Here's a church that, you know, they looked poor, but they were rich. They were poor in the right things and rich in the right things. I don't want to be rich in the wrong things and poor in the wrong things. Amen. And there's some people, and I said this about the mission field when I came back to it the second time. Most of the folks there are rich where we're poor, and they're poor where we're rich, and they're loving every moment of it. Amen. They're just rejoicing in every moment of it. They're just living the simple life, and they're just some of the most thankful people. And I think this is one of the reasons. Now, I'm not saying you can't have things and be thankful, but I am saying this. If you do have things, you're going to have to really, really concentrate and stay focused on how you got them and why you have them to stay thankful. God doesn't give everything to me for me. And I learned that a short while ago. A lot of times God is given through me instead of to me. And I just need to learn more about that. How about you? And so I want to ask you, have you lost your vigor? Have you... Many of you raised your hand and said, I'm lukewarm. Well, why is that? It's not because you don't love God. Right? Because I could ask the same question. How many of you here love God? Many, if not all of you that raised your hand and said, I'm lukewarm, would say, you would raise your hand and say, I do love God, preacher. And I believe that with all of my heart. Some of the finest Christians that I know attend this church. And I'm thankful for the fellowship of this congregation. And so don't you take this as, well, you know, the preacher thinks we're all lukewarm. No, the preacher's afraid he's become lukewarm. And as the leader, if I'm not careful, that lukewarmness it'll spread and we'll become a lukewarm church. And I've got to tell you, I don't want that. A lukewarm church makes God sick. You say, what do you mean? That sounds kind of serious. It is serious. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. And so that's not the standing I want before God. And I know it's not what you want. And I know as a church, it's not what we want. And so what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to see what God told them. What did Jesus tell them? He said, number one, he said, you've lost your vigor, your passion. And you got to do something about that. You got to realize, hey, you've kind of lazed around and laid back long enough. Discipline yourself to do some things you don't want to do. Amen. And God's really been speaking to me about that. I mentioned a little bit of it Sunday night. When I call you, get up. When I speak to you, answer. When I direct you, follow. Don't just do what you want to do when you want to do it, or don't even do what I ask you to do when you want to do it. You do what I say every time. You say, well, that sounds kind of militant. God expects me to obey his commandments every time. And so they lost their vigor. They lost their value. They lost their value. They thought they were one thing, but God saw them as another. Notice it again in verse number 17. You say, I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, but you don't know. And he said, basically what he's saying, but I see you as you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, that's the way I see you. You see yourself a different way than I see you. That's what God is saying. How does God see you? See, God really sees us. God just doesn't. He just doesn't see what the action is. He sees the attitude. He sees why we do what we do. Let me give you just a couple of things here, and I'm going to move on. Verse 17, when he says that thou art, I know that thou art wretched. It's very interesting to study these words. Hidden sin, just almost an act of hypocrisy. Then he said, not only that, he said, you're miserable. You're miserable. You know, a double-minded person, a person who lives a double standard, is miserable. Miserable. And then he said in verse number 17, he said, you're poor. You say you're rich, but you're poor. What makes somebody rich in the faith? Obedience, right? Obedience, soul winning, ministry, helping others. And then notice again, if you would, in verse number 17, he said, you're poor and blind. By the way, I just feel like I need to say this, all right? I was going to preach this message, whether the young people stayed in here or not. Young people, this is not for people that are 45 and above. This is for saved people. And so if you're sitting here tonight and you're saved, God's talking to you. And I want you to know that. God expects out of you to be a Christian. He expects you to have vigor in your life. He expects you to have courage to speak up for Christ. He expects you to have value on what you consider valuable and your priorities. He expects you as a young person, even as a child, he expects you to know what is important in life. And he said one of the things that he said here, is, notice what he said, and this will bring us to our third point. He said, you're blind. So he said, you've lost your vigor. You've lost your values. What's he saying here? You've lost your vision. You know, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, you become blind and cannot see afar off. He said, you're short-sighted. You're only living for the moment. But wasn't that a problem that we face today? Isn't that a problem of our world, brethren? Everybody's living for the moment. Seems like that's what most people think about as well, right now. And so they make very poor choices, very poor decisions, because choices have consequences, and you have to look down the road to where that choice is going to end up at, where that decision is going to put you? And so he said, you're blind. You're blind. You're short-sighted. Now, what affects our sight? Our appetite. Our appetite. You know, one of the reasons, possibly, of the first two, that we've lost our vigor, that we can lose our vigor, that we've lost our value, that we can lose our value, is that we've lost our vision. And one of the ways we lose our vision is poor diets. A poor diet. A daily intake of things that we just should not be putting into our spiritual bodies. That we should not be allowing ourselves to see and hear and do. And so he said, you're blind. And I think about what Peter said. He said, you know, if you're going to be able to correct that, you're going to add some things to your faith. Remember that? Go home and read it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. It's very, very interesting. Let me give you this last one, then I'm going to give you some things I believe will help me and help you. All right? The fourth thing, they had lost their vesture. Verse number 17 says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind, and here it is, naked. They lost their vesture, their garment. It's gone. You know, the garment's gone. You know, the Bible says we're to be clothed with some things, right? Think of some things that the Bible says that as Christians we're to be clothed in. We're not to be going around naked, physically or spiritually. We're to be clothed in humility. Does the Bible say that? Amen. We're to be clothed in humility. One of the things that's going to help me not to become lukewarm is to be clothed in humility. I'm to be clothed in righteousness. And the righteousness is the righteous acts of the saints. I'm to be clothed in doing the right thing. In a white robe, that's what the scripture says later in this book. Right? I'm to be clothed in righteousness. I'm to be clothed in Jesus. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul wrote in the book of Romans. I am to suit up. I am to put on the whole armor of God. You are too. These are ways that we can prevent from that lukewarmness. Well, preacher, I don't want to be lukewarm. Well, it's going to take more than just not wanting to be. Right? You ever just wonder, why don't I have the burden that I ought to have? Well, it's going to take more than just wanting a burden. Why don't I do what I used to do? We could have all of these questions, but it's going to take more than just not wanting it to be. It's going to take some action. And so he said, because of that, I'm going to cancel you. Look at verse number 18. But he canceled them to an action. I'm going to cancel you to do some things, right? Not just, I'm just not going to have a little talk with you and say, now straighten up. Just straighten up. No, you're going to have to do some things. Now, what are we going to have to do? Well, I listed some things, and I'm just going to name them. All right? I think you can find them right here. I just feel sure that you can find them, at least inferred and referenced, if not in detail. So let me give you some things that I think would really help. Let's go back and just quickly. They lost their vigor. I want to ask you one more time. Do you have a vigor? Does it excite you to serve Jesus? Are you excited to serve the Lord? Am I? When you get ready to come to church, is that exciting? Is it a delight or has it become a duty? Well, I better go to church. Well, you know, the preacher will call or somebody will be wanting to find out. And I can't just tell them I stayed out of church because I didn't want to be there. That's a problem. Is it the way I feel? Then you have a problem. Vigor. Number two, values. What do you really value in life? Entertainment? Everybody wants to have fun all the time. It drives me nuts. I like to have fun just as much as the next person. But I don't want my life to be built around entertainment and pleasure. I like it, but I don't want my life to be built on it. I want to build my life on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. And I believe many of you do as well. They lost their vision. What's your vision? What's your goals? Where do you want to be? What do you want to do for Jesus? What's your goals? How are you going to serve the Lord? What's God have for you? Are you praying about that? Are you seeking that? Are you asking God to reveal your gifts and to use your gifts and to open up doors of opportunity for your spiritual gifts to be used? Vision. And then lastly, vesture. Are you clothed in the right clothes? Are you clothing yourself? You've got to put some things on. I have too. If we don't, we're naked. We don't just get up and clothes jump on us. And that's the way it is spiritually too. Now, what can I do, preacher? Simple things. I hope you'll write them down. They're simple. Number one, spend time with God every day. Every day. Evening, morning, and at noon, will I pray and cry aloud. And He will hear my voice. Psalm 55:17. Brother David, he alluded to it Sunday night. You say, well, preacher, that's easy. Is it so easy that you do it evening, morning, and noon? It's not that easy. It's not. You know, I'm learning that as I get older, I spend more time praying in little pockets than I do in duration. And everybody's got to do what they feel God wants them to do, but just make sure you spend some time with God. You spend some time with God every day in prayer. You say, well, what am I going to pray? Pray the Lord's Prayer. I don't mean recite it, pray it. You pray that God would help you magnify His name. Hallow His name. God, help me to hallow Your name today. I prayed it this morning. God, help me to promote Your kingdom. I want to do something to promote and further Your kingdom today. Thy kingdom come. God, lead me, guide me. I want to do Your will today. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Empty me of myself. Just spend some time with God every day. Would you do that? You say, I don't want to be lukewarm. You will not be lukewarm in God's presence. I can tell you that. And if you enter in His presence lukewarm, you will not stay that way. Number two, read Scripture every day. Read the Bible every day. Yeah, preacher, this is easy stuff. It's so easy we're not doing it. There's a lot of Christians not doing it, brethren. We're being challenged in these areas. We have an enemy, and he doesn't want us to read the Word of God. He doesn't want us to memorize the Word of God. He doesn't want us to meditate on the Word of God. And so spend time in the Word every day. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. With my whole heart, he said, have I sought thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Get in God's word. Listen, it's hard to get God's word in you. Jesus said in John 15:3, he said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. The word, brethren, the word, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. Amen. Making wise the simple, right? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The judgment of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, is pure, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What did the psalmist say? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You'll never find that out if you don't get in it. So I want to encourage you, read God's word every day. Could I encourage you to do that? Number three, be faithful to church. You say, well, I come to every church service. No, I didn't say be faithful to attend church. Be faithful to church. Be in the services. What talent and gift has God given you? Serve the Lord in your church. Amen. Serve the Lord in the church. Give to your church. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your teacher. Pray for your leaders. Pray. Get involved in the church. Pray for the bus ministry. Pray for the Sunday school ministry. Pray for the children's ministry. Be faithful to your church. Not just coming and attending. That's great. But it's got to go deeper than that. These are ways to help us not to be lukewarm. Be a soul winner. Kind of hard to get lukewarm when you see the needs of so many people. Isn't it, brethren? Now, isn't it? It is. win souls. We got some new tracks in back there, and I want to thank those of you who helped to make that happen. And so get you some tracks on your way out. Get you some cards, and just listen, just hand them out. God will give you opportunity. He will. He will. Just be a soul winner. Be a seed sower, if nothing else. Just sow some seed. And then finally, keep short accounts with God. I tell you, you make a decision that you're going to serve Jesus with your life. You're going to pick it up some, and you're going to snap out of some things that you maybe allowed to get into your life. You're going to make some changes, and the devil's going to try everything he can to hold you where you are. And one of the things that we all need to remember, keep short accounts with God. When you sin, confess it. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to say, well, they do it. Well, it's wrong for them too. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter who does it. Amen? Amen? And so God help us. God help us. I don't want to be lukewarm. And sometimes we just forget the basics. And I pray that God has used something that was said here tonight to help somebody, many people that raised their hand that said, I'm lukewarm. What are you going to do about it? Let me ask you this. What are you doing about it? What were you doing before the night? You knew you were lukewarm. What were you doing? So, well, I was just kind of cruising along. I was kind of coasting, preacher. Well, it's time to put it in gear. All right? God doesn't want you coasting. And he certainly doesn't want you in reverse. Put it in drive and ask God to help you move forward. All right? All right. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.